Morning, everybody. Brian Newbert here from goldenblack.com, live once again in the old home office. This is your goldenblack.com daily quarantine simulcast for Thursday, June 4th. It is brought to you by Follett's Purdue Bookstores, Purdue Federal Credit Union, the 6th Street Dive Restaurant, First Source Bank, East End Grill, and the Charters Team Remax Ability Plus. Want to remind you once again, and for one of the final times of this series, that if you're looking for a great dinner or to simply support our local businesses as they hopefully move out of this very difficult period in their respective histories, please keep in mind the 6th Street Dive in Lafayette, the East End Grill in downtown Lafayette, Arnie's in Lafayette, West Lafayette, and all over the state, Bruno's on the Levee, the XXX on the Hill, and the Whitaker Inn out in West Lafayette, out by Harrison High School. I'm sure they would very much appreciate to hear from you. I would appreciate it if they would hear from you as well. If you're accessing this video on YouTube, another reminder to please hit the subscribe button. At some point in time, something other than me every day will be coming across there. And again, that will be a joyous day for all of us. And you'll want to get access to that as soon as possible. So hit that subscribe button, please. And we're wrapping this series up. I think tomorrow is the grand finale. There will not be fireworks. But we are a little bit late with this today because I just kind of sat around trying to think about what I wanted to talk about. And one little note of relevance this morning came out in that Purdue announced its late December non-conference basketball game against Yale today. That is not new news. That had already been reported by everyone's schedule leak recipient of choice for whatever reason, John Rothstein. So that is not new news, but it is at least something that occurred today. So I figured I would take this next 10 to 12 minutes, whatever it may be, to discuss Purdue's kind of non-conference schedule for the men's basketball season next year, assuming everything is normal. Obviously, the possibility does exist that the basketball season could be affected in some manner by COVID. That's probably far less likely than the football season being impacted, obviously. But basketball being an indoor sport, you never know. I think, you know, this is all kind of uncharted territory here. We don't know if there'll be any effects in terms of the games being played or the games being played with or without fans. We don't know. But let's pretend like everything's normal for a moment, which it may very well be. But let's discuss the non-conference schedule under the prevailing assumption that everything is normal and this is a normal year. Matt Painter's non-conference scheduling philosophy has been made pretty clear here the last few years. He wants to schedule a very difficult slate of games because he wants to sweet talk the computers. A, he wants to make his team better. First and foremost, that's the most important part of this, is that he wants his team to face pretty good competition early in the season, A, to show them, you know, where they stand, but B, also to theoretically make them better later in the season. And I think that was very evident 2 years ago when Purdue didn't win a game of consequence 2 seasons ago, and then obviously won the Big Ten title and damn near went to the Final Four. I think that was a good example of a tough schedule early on in the season making Purdue better. I think the other part of that, and the more important part of that, or as important part of that, is simply the nature of NCAA tournament selection nowadays. The net rankings are very, very important. You get rewarded for who you play, probably more so now than ever before. You do have to win games, obviously, early in the season, as Purdue, you know, didn't do a great job of this past season, which was largely the reason it was in the position it was in. Late in the season, had the season ended, Purdue most likely would have ended up outside of the NCAA tournament field, even though it was better than some teams in the Big Ten who were going to the NCAA tournament. And I personally think Purdue was better than a team that shared the league title, but you know that doesn't matter if you don't win enough games. And Purdue didn't win enough games last season to put itself in the position it wanted to be in. But Purdue was still in the conversation for an NCAA tournament bid late in the season, like two games over 500. And the reason for that was its net ranking. Had Purdue just won two more games late in the season, had they done, after winning in Bloomington, the bare minimum in terms of games that you figured they'd win, but they ultimately did not, had they just won their home games or a few more home games, You know, Purdue would have been in a great spot with a pretty mediocre record, all things considered. And that's simply a product of the fact that the net rankings really, really matter. And the net rankings are predicated on your strength of schedule, who you play, and Purdue has obviously made it an emphasis the last few years to play a very difficult schedule. And kind of moving into that, the schedule next year could be another monster. There are some really, really important pieces left to be determined here, obviously. So I'm not talking about a final list here, but the Hall of Fame event at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn against West Virginia is a marquee game that speaks directly to Purdue's vulnerabilities on paper right now. The front court the Mountaineers have, they are a top 25 team in the preseason, most likely. The front court they have, grown men and really tenacious, hard-playing guys all across that roster. Purdue has to score this year against physical defensive teams. That was obviously a huge, huge issue for them last season. And West Virginia will be a great test, not only for Purdue's offensive maturity, but for its front court, which is a massive question. You know, we don't know who Purdue's forward is right now. Mason Gillis and Aaron Wheeler are the two guys there at the moment. Obviously, with Matt Harms departing, that opens up opportunities for some really young big guys. So that's either Emmanuel Dewona, Zach Edey, or some combination thereof. And that will not be an easy matchup for them going against Derek Culver and some of the other guys West Virginia has in that really, really good front court of theirs. Fantastic test, something that you could go there, you can get your doors blown off if you're not careful. Purdue, again, is scrimmaging in the preseason against Providence. That doesn't count for the schedule, obviously, but it is another preseason deal. Purdue's going out to Boston to return the trip Providence made out to Indianapolis, I think, last year for the closed scrimmage. Again, that doesn't count, but that is just another experience. In terms of games that do count, Purdue's in the Cancun Challenge in Mexico for the second time in a matter of a few years, and we don't know exactly who they're playing yet, but the field is Illinois State, Clemson, and Mississippi State. If I had to guess, Purdue probably urged the tournament to put them against both high majors, and if that's how it materializes, then Purdue would get Clemson and Mississippi State, two obviously major conference teams with major conference players, and two more high major games for your non-conference schedule. Again, Illinois State could be one of those games. No pushover either by their recent standards for their program. I haven't looked to see how good they were last year. For all I know, they were bad. I should have looked that up before I got on here, but I did not. I should have known anyway. The Big Ten ACC Challenge remains to be determined. So again, I talked about there being really big pieces involved here that aren't in place yet. I don't know who Purdue is going to get in the Big Ten ACC Challenge. It is going to be a road game, and obviously you want to have part two of what you get rewarded for in your NCAA tournament resume when all is said and done is playing good people away from your home floor, and Purdue's going to get somebody good, somebody respectable at least, away from their home floor again this year. The Gavitt game's also yet to be determined. That's going to be a home game. We can play the little process of elimination game there, and I would assume that ranked teams get paired against ranked teams. So looking at kind of the hierarchy of things, the three teams that have seen – the team that makes the most sense to me is, to be honest with you, is Georgetown, because Purdue's not seen Georgetown at all. I don't think that they would give them Butler just because there's a Crossroads Classic connection there. That's a game that's played every other year. Anyway, I figured that they would put Xavier with Indiana for whatever reason. I don't know why I'm assuming that, but I just am. Georgetown just makes a lot of sense. Purdue and Georgetown haven't played in, you know, I don't know how long. It would just make sense for them to come to Mackey Arena for a one-off meeting. Just makes sense. That's all I'm basing that on, is it just makes sense. So that's the high major component of this here. That in itself is pretty damn good schedule for Purdue, one that it's really going to have to be ready for. I forgot the Crossroads Classic against Notre Dame, another high major games. So right now, right there, that's what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. As many as 6 high major games, which is at least half your schedule. That's a really good schedule for Purdue. A schedule where you kind of look at the rest of it and the guaranteed wins. You should beat Evansville to open your season in Mackey Arena, obviously. You should beat Incarnate Word, obviously, to end your non-conference season, right there at the end. Indiana State, you know, obviously is a program that's done some positive things over the years. I don't know where they're going to be this year. Purdue should beat them in Mackey Arena. Yale is no pushover. They were 69th in the net last year, won 23 games, something like that, I think. But should beat them, you'd think, in Mackey Arena. That's 4 wins right there that you really look at the schedule and say, that's what they got. Those are ones you should win. Everything else is, going to be pretty hotly contested. And Purdue the last couple of years hasn't been, you know, great to start seasons for whatever reason. And Purdue's got to win some of these games, to get back to the NCAA tournament. You have to play good people, but you also have to beat your share of them too to not be in a compromising position at the end of the year if you've had the Big Ten season that you needed to have to get yourself into the NCAA tournament mix. That has been painfully obvious the last couple of years. Purdue, again, 2 years ago, didn't win a game of consequence in non-conference play, and then it went like 15-3 or whatever it was in the Big Ten, won the league, had a great year, and obviously left no doubt about its place in the NCAA tournament, and then obviously proved itself in the NCAA tournament last year. Had Purdue taken care of business against Texas and Mackey Arena, had they taken care of business either of those last 2 years against Florida State when they had Florida State in position to beat them, you know, things look very different. And that's just what Purdue has to do early in this season, is just find that maturity they didn't have last season in a manner where it can be applied early in the season to where you're not just playing good people, but you're also beating good people. You need signature type non-conference wins to not put yourself behind the eight ball going into your conference season. And that's kind of what Purdue has done lately. And that's what, you know, obviously it will not want to do here this season. Purdue, to me, is an NCAA tournament team. I know they've taken some hits on the transfer wire in Matt Harms and Nojel Eastern. How exactly that impacts them remains to be seen, but their impact will only be felt if the guys coming up behind them, the guys returning in the program, the guys coming into the program, those guys are all more than capable of making Purdue a really good team this year. It's a matter of them, you know, improving enough in terms of the returnees and being mature and experienced enough to be the foundation of a really good team, but also the readiness of the young guys as well. I know that's me saying a lot without really saying anything, but what I'm saying is the hits Purdue's taken this offseason, the impact of them will be relative to the readiness and the maturity of the guys coming back. For all we know, it's entirely plausible that at the end of the day, at the end of the season, we're sitting here saying that, you know, it didn't matter that Nojel Eastern and Matt Harms left, or you could be saying that really mattered. It killed them. It's up to Eric Hunter. It's up to Sasha Stefanovic. It's up to Isaiah Thompson. It's up to Travion Williams. It's up to Aaron Wheeler. It's up to all the guys coming back to this year's team from last year's team. And then obviously the readiness of the newcomers. But it starts with the older guys. It had to start with the older guys last year. It didn't. And now it needs to start with the older guys. There is not going to be any sort of soft runway into this schedule because this is another big boy schedule. That's just the way Purdue likes it. Purdue just has to show now it can handle it. So that's what I got for today on Purdue's men's basketball non-conference schedule. Obviously an incomplete picture. We will continue to break things down as they go, as we get that Gavitt announcement, as we get that Big Ten ACC announcement. It was brought to my attention this morning. I'd never thought of this, that typically the conferences normally, or the conferences and their TV partners normally wait till NBA decisions are made. And with that deadline being pushed back this year, it could be a little bit unconventional in that sense. So that makes perfect sense. Might not know exactly what the schedule looks like for a while, but that's what I got at this point in time. This has been your GoldenBlack.com Bailey Quarantine simulcast for Thursday, June 4th. Brought to you by Fouts Purdue Bookstores, Purdue Federal Credit Union, the 6th Street Dive Restaurant, First Source Bank, East End Grill, and the Charters Team Remaxability Plus. Reminder, once again, if you're looking for a great dinner, 6th Street Dive, East End Grill, Arnie's, Bruno's, Triple X, Whitaker Inn. Please keep them in mind. Thanks, everybody.